Cardinal Lomelli left his apartment in the Palace of the Holy Office shortly before 2 in the morning and hurried through the darkened cloisters of the Vatican towards the bedroom of the Pope. He was praying. Oh, Lord, he still has so much to do, whereas all my useful work in your service is completed. He is beloved while I am forgotten. Spare him, Lord, spare him. Take me instead. He toiled up the cobbled slope towards the Piazza Santa Marta. The Roman air was soft and misty, yet already he could detect the first faint chill of autumn. It was raining slightly. The prefect of the papal household had sounded so panicked on the telephone, Lomelli was expecting to be met by a scene of pandemonium. In fact, the piazza was unusually quiet, apart from a solitary ambulance parked a discreet distance away, silhouetted against the floodlit southern flank of St. Peter's. Its interior light was on, the windscreen wipers scudding back and forth, close enough for him to be able to make out the faces of both the driver and his assistant. The driver was using a mobile phone, and Lomelli thought with a shock, they haven't come to take a sick man to the hospital. They've come to take away a body. At the plate glass entrance to the Casa Santa Marta, the Swiss guard saluted, a white-gloved hand to a red-plumed helmet. Your Eminence? Lomelli, nodding towards the car, said, will you please make sure that man isn't calling the media? The hostel had an austere, antiseptic atmosphere, like a private clinic. In the white marbled lobby, a dozen priests, 3 in dressing gowns, stood around in bewilderment as if a fire alarm had sounded and they were unsure of the correct procedure. Lomelli hesitated on the threshold, felt something in his left hand, and saw that he was clutching his red succhetto. He couldn't remember picking it up. He unfolded it and placed it on his head. His hair was damp to the touch. A bishop, an African, tried to intercept him as he walked towards the elevator, but Lomelli merely nodded in his direction and moved on. The car took an age to come. He ought to have used the stairs, but he was too short of breath. He sensed the others looking at his back. He should say something. The elevator arrived. The doors slid open. He turned and raised his hand in benediction. Pray, he said. He pressed the button for the second floor. The doors closed, and he began to ascend. If it is your will to call him to your presence and leave me behind, then grant me the strength to be a rock for others. In the mirror, beneath the yellow light, his cadaverous face was grey and mottled. He yearned for a sign, for some infusion of strength. The elevator lurched to an abrupt halt, but his stomach seemed to go on rising and he had to grip the metal handrail to steady himself. He remembered riding with the Holy Father in this very car early in his papacy, when 2 elderly monsignors had got in. Immediately they had fallen to their knees, stunned to find themselves face to face with Christ's representative on earth, at which the Pope had laughed and said, "Don't worry, get up. I'm just an old sinner, no better than you." The Cardinal raised his chin, his public mask. The doors opened. A thick curtain of dark suits parted to let him through. He heard one agent whisper into his sleeve, "The Dean is here."